Hello, you're listening to Bricks and Mortar from EG. Today, I'm talking to Rachel Saint, a chartered surveyor, an RICS assessor, and co-founder of Property Elite, a business that provides training and support to chartered surveyors for the APC. Rachel has extensive experience in providing training support to graduate trainees, RICS APC candidates, and corporate clients throughout her career. She's also an experienced property consultant and expert witness. She joins me today to discuss the role of the counsellor and supervisor in the APC process. You're listening to Sarah Jackman. Rachel, thanks very much indeed for joining me today. We're going to take a look at the counsellor and supervisor role in the APC process. They have a critical role to play in coaching and mentoring APC candidates through their professional qualification. Can you just start by explaining the difference between the two?
Yes, absolutely, Sarah. So all APC candidates will need to appoint a counsellor to support and guide them through the process. The counsellor is responsible and accountable for signing off candidates as being ready to undertake the preliminary or final assessment of their APC. The supervisor role is very similar, actually. It's best practice to have someone overseeing candidates' day-to-day activities who is also responsible for giving them guidance and support. This is particularly important where you are mentoring a candidate who is following a structured training route. So in practice, it's common for a line manager to act as a supervisor for a structured training candidate. However, candidates don't need to have a separate supervisor, and this might be inappropriate in certain cases, e.g. the senior professional, specialist, or academic candidates.
Right, okay. And what formal qualifications do you need for each of those roles? Are there any?
Yes, the counsellor must be an RICS chartered professional, either MRICS or FRICS. The supervisor actually does not need to be an RICS chartered professional, but ideally they would be.
Okay, and what sort of attributes do you think are helpful? For example, how important is personality and personal rapport in creating a successful relationship between the mentor and the mentee?
Okay, so it's important that counsellors and supervisors have a really positive attitude towards what their role brings to them and to the profession. They'll be helping to maintain the high professional standards expected of qualified professionals. They'll be putting something back into the surveying profession, and they'll be raising the profile of the RICS on a global basis. I also believe it's important to have a really high degree of empathy with the individuals that you're supporting. It can be a really confusing process, and many candidates feel that it's very difficult to navigate through it without some help. For senior professional candidates, though, the counsellor role is more of a peer-to-peer review. So the mentoring is more about guidance around the process and helping the candidate to demonstrate their senior professional competencies rather than providing support around developing technical ability.
And just in terms of formal guidance, is there anything available from the RICS in terms of how to support a candidate as a counsellor or a supervisor?
Yes, the RICS provides a counsellor guide. The latest version is dated August 2018, and you can find that on the RICS website. Mm-hmm. It contains detailed guidance on support required for each route, depending on the candidate profile. So the candidate profile is established by understanding the qualifications and experience of each candidate. The options are for structured training or preliminary review, senior professional, specialist or academic routes. And the RICS requires that all counsellors complete compulsory training either face-to-face or via the e-learning counsellor module accessed via ARC on their website. Completion of this module qualifies for 2 hours of CPD, which is a bonus. And all counsellors are encouraged to review the ethics module. This is essential as candidates must all complete the module before being eligible to complete their final assessment. And counsellors should also familiarise themselves with the appropriate candidate guide and the appropriate pathway guide for their individual candidates.
So just thinking more then about the practical day-to-day workings of the relationship, I mean, how does it pan out day-to-day? What sort of support could practically be expected?
Okay, so practically speaking, the counsellor should adopt a really hands-on approach at the start of the process. So the counsellor should spend time with the candidate, ensuring that they have read and understood their candidate guide, and also go through the pathway guide with them. It's essential that the candidate selects the right pathway, which must be relevant to their current job role. Then after that, the counsellor must satisfy themselves that the candidate is selecting appropriate competencies within their pathway, which again must relate to their day-to-day roles. So they have to help them to understand what the competencies mean in practice, and that they must develop their knowledge beyond the theoretical level to demonstrate actual experience and provide reasoned professional advice around the competencies that they choose. And lastly, I think they need to establish a go-to relationship with the mentee, encouraging a friendly, supportive environment.
Just following on from that, I mean, how frequently should they be getting together? I mean, is it more of an informal thing, or do they need to sit down perhaps once a week and just review where they're at against perhaps some of those competencies or pathway goals?
Yeah, I think the guidance actually states every 3 months for a catch-up, but I recommend definitely a monthly catch-up. Mm-hmm. I don't think it needs to be on a weekly basis, although if somebody's working with a supervisor line manager, then that kind of makes sense. So I would suggest a more of a monthly catch-up with a full meeting every 3 months.
Yeah.
The council will be supporting, guiding and encouraging the candidate, so regular input and discussion is essential all the way through.
Okay, and what sort of support would a candidate expect just in terms of professional review and feedback at those 3 monthly meetings? I mean, are there particular sort of goals set out along the way that they'd be sort of looking at and reviewing where they're at in terms of those objectives?
Yeah, one thing that kind of can get overlooked in the process is CPD. So the council and supervisor need to work together to arrange regular reviews to plan and monitor the candidate's CPD. So they have to do 48 hours a year of CPD throughout their structured training. So they also need to discuss what experience they're getting. Is it sufficient and is it in the right areas? They need to plan for future experience and have regular reviews of that. They need to review their diary and logbook. And also, lastly, but very importantly, they need to encourage feedback from the candidate as to what they think they're getting through the process.
Mm-hmm. And do you find candidates are usually sort of quite enthusiastic and sort of wanting to gain that feedback, or do you find that there's a bit of reluctance, or what's your general sense of how candidates sort of warm up and interact with the role?
I think that very much depends on the individual candidate. I think that it's really necessary to try to encourage candidates to feedback and actually be open about how they feel about the support they're getting in their training role.
And just in terms of then going through the process and thinking ahead towards final assessment, I mean, what role does the counsellor have just in terms of recommending when the candidate is ready to go and actually sort of put themselves forward for that final assessment?
Well, this is actually a really important part of the role of the counsellor, and the key element of any supporting role is the assessment of the candidate's progress against their chosen pathway competencies. So an in-depth knowledge and understanding of the competencies is vital to that process. And as well as having the theoretical knowledge, the candidate's got to demonstrate that they can put that knowledge into practice and provide sound professional advice around that competency. So the counsellor should be asking questions about their suggested options and recommendations in a work context to explore their knowledge and understanding of the work that they're actually involved in. And counsellors should also take time to support the softer skills which form part of the mandatory competencies, e.g., for instance, client care, business planning, or inclusive environments. So it's vital that candidates don't come forward too early. It's the major cause of referral at APC. Candidates generally work really hard for their interview, so it can be really disappointing if they are referred, and we always encourage candidates to take their time that they really need to pass the first time round.
One of the most important parts of the process then is putting them forward for final assessment. How can the counsellor really assist in preparing for that final assessment, so for the interview and the case study itself? I mean, how hands-on do they need to be in perhaps practising interview technique with them, or perhaps reviewing their final papers? I mean, what's the level of input required?
Okay, so counsellors really need to support the candidate in firstly in selecting in a suitable case study, which they're going to present to the panel. So that looks like a piece of work which the candidate has undertaken personally under very minimal supervision. So I would suggest that counsellors need to talk through some options and select a case study which demonstrates the candidate's skill bases and clearly shows how they've identified key issues and advised around them. So as a general rule, there can be a temptation for the candidate to select a case study which is the most complicated project that the candidate's been involved with.
Right.
So that's not necessarily the best plan, as because you've got a very limited word count of 3,000 words. And so a more straightforward project or piece of work might be more appropriate. And then because the candidate will present the case study to the interview panel, the counsellor can really help the candidate to prepare for the presentation by focusing on the key issues and helping with presentation techniques, timing and confidence.
Okay, and when do candidates need to engage perhaps the support of a third party organisation such as your own? Is it when there are gaps within their own organisation and they need particular support that they're perhaps not finding within their own place of work, or how would that work?
Okay, well, at Property Elite, we find that, you know, that can be the case, but in a lot of organisations, particularly in private practice, most RSES qualified professionals are under significant pressure to deliver casework.
Yeah.
And they might not have the time to devote to staff development in addition to their day job.
Yeah.
Also, you know, they might not feel confident in steering their staff through the complexities of the process, and they might prefer third-party support in the counsellor role, although they might be prepared to support the candidate by acting as supervisor, for instance.
Mm.
So this would give them the confidence that they're advising their candidates correctly, particularly where they may personally have qualified many years ago.
Sure.
And then also we find Property Elite that in the case of senior professionals and specialists following the SPA and specialist route, it might be more appropriate to use an external counsellor and mentor rather than someone at a more junior level in their organisation. Or they might not have suitably qualified professionals in their organisation, particularly where they sit in a corporate role themselves.
Yeah, okay. And what advice would you give to those people supporting more junior members in their career progression? Is it a rewarding role? I mean, what's your own advice to those people considering it?
Yeah, absolutely, Sarah. It is my advice that it's a very rewarding role. And if you can make the time, it's a really good thing to be involved in supporting junior staff through their training in terms of your own professional development also. So if you're not so confident around the process and requirements of the counsellor role, for instance, try to start out as a supervisor and work with an experienced counsellor to pick up the ropes. You know, encourage your mentees to ask questions and discuss the work that they're doing with them so you can make the most of their learning opportunities around what they are actually doing on a day-to-day basis. And lastly, remember that the knowledge base of the profession is extremely wide. Candidates need to cover an awful lot of ground to satisfy their competencies and pathway.
Okay. And what advice would you give to candidates to ensure that they get the best out of the relationship?
Well, it's a bit of an old adage, but there's no such thing as a stupid question. Ask away and don't be afraid to seek clarification or discuss any points that you're not clear about. Also, try to keep on track with your work when it comes to writing up your competencies, keeping your logbook together. Your counsellor and supervisor won't want to be constantly chasing you to get your work completed. And also, think about your potential case study fairly early on and keep a daybook and notes on potential projects that you might use.
Okay. And finally then, you mentioned and alluded to how important it is to try and obtain that pass first time around. I mean, what would be your top tip for ensuring that people do pass their APC on that first go?
Okay, so pretty obvious, but prepare a clear, well-constructed statement of experience and know your submission and case study really well. So when you're questioned about it, the answers come to you straight away. Practice your 10-minute presentation. You can bore your family to death with it, And also, I think lastly, some candidates who have been referred tell me that they didn't really know what to expect on the day. So don't fall into that trap. You know, make sure you get as much mock interview experience as you can.
Okay. Rachel, that's been a really useful talk in terms of the supervisor and counsellor role. Thank you very much indeed for your time today. You've been listening to Bricks and Mortar from EG with Sarah Jackman. For more information on developing a career in real estate, see the archive of the Bricks and Mortar series at podbean.com and the APC and mainly for students series at egi.co.uk.